It's time for Twig. This week at Google, Gina and Jeff, what is the best Android phone? Is it the Moto X, the HTC One, the Galaxy S4, maybe that new LG G2? It's all coming up as we talk about Android, Google, and the cloud. Twig is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 210, recorded August 7th, 2013. Hashtag fad. This Week in Google is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIG8. And by Hover.com. Hover's the reliable domain name registration and management service that's simple, honest, and easy to use. For exceptional customer support and 10% off your new domain name, go to hover.com/twig and use our offer code TWIG. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we talk about Google, the cloud, the world around us, and anything Jeff Jarvis and Gina Trapani damn well want to talk about. Let me introduce our hosts, Gina Trapani of smarterware.org, founding editor of Lifehacker, and creator of To-Do Text and ThinkUp app. Jeff Jarvis, professor of journalism at the City University of New York and author of Public Parts, available at bookstores everywhere. He blogs at buzzmachine.com. Hello, kids.
Hey.
Hey.
So a little bit of stuff happened since we were here last.
You have a new toy on your desk.
I got a new phone. So do you. I see your HTC One.
Like new. HTC One just got Android 4.3, so soon.
Yay.
Impressed. Yay. Happy with it. Happy with it. I'm trying to remember what I should be looking for in 4.3. Some camera changes.
There's profiles, which is a big thing.
Oh, that's right, profiles.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else?
Like some of the camera settings were a little different. I'm poking around. I'm very happy. Very happy that update came down because I didn't want to have to wait very long.
You know, it prompted me because the HTC Sense is still at 4.2.2. And will be probably for a while. It takes a while to update that stuff. The Google Experience phone, which is what you have, got updated. So I put the Google Experience ROM on my stock HTC One. So I get, because I wanted 4.3.
Yeah. So you're coming back into the kind of pure experience.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. I was arguing against Google Experience HTC One because of the Zoes and the highlights and some sense-specific stuff. But I'm kind of getting, after using the Moto X for a little while, I'm getting burned. I don't, I gave up on the Galaxy S4 because it's so junked up.
Yeah.
And
I tried to work with a friend's phone, and it drove me, in 10 minutes, it drove me nutty.
Yeah. And then I did the same thing this is normally an AT&T HTC One, but I put, you can get the Google Experience ROM on it. And so I put, and they can get 4.3 Google Experience ROM. The ROM guys are fast. They waste no time. And it's, I like it. But it all started with the Moto X. I finally got one. Of course, the big announcement was, the reveal was on Wednesday, and I got mine on Friday. I've been playing with it. And, it's not perfect. I told Gina cryptically that she should wait, because I know you liked the Nexus 4, and you, Jeff, still use the Nexus 4, right?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And I felt like this was in many ways a spiritual successor to the Nexus 4. It's certainly in form factor. Mm-hmm. It feels the same. It's roughly the same dots per inch. It's a 4.7-inch screen. It's a few dots per inch less, but it's, 720p. But it looks very good. It's a AMOLED screen, but not Pentile like the one of the reasons I didn't like the Nexus 4 is I wasn't crazy about the color banding I would see in the Pentile display. Mm-hmm. By the way, I have a phony launcher on here. I have Nova Launcher, so it doesn't look like a Google Experience. And I've added a lot of apps. But if you go back to the way it came out of the box, there's only two pages of apps. There's only two AT&T apps on here, my AT&T and the AT&T of Visual Voicemail. There's a couple of Motorola apps, both of which I think are good. They're not clutter. So it's about as close
The Nexus 4 was not a Pentel screen. It was IPS. Oh, sorry. I apologize. I thought it was for some reason. So this is AMOLED.
I had the Galaxy. I also had the Galaxy Nexus. I didn't have the Nexus.
The Galaxy before. Nexus. That was the Pentile. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So I think you'd like this screen. You're used to an OLED screen. You know, some people don't like OLED. It's the same resolution as the screen, roughly as the screen you had. It's the same feeling. You know, it's sealed. There's no removable battery, no SD card.
And so that shipped with the default Android launcher, right? There was no.
It did. In
no
fact, I could go back. Yeah, I should go back to it because I'm giving you a false impression.
No. I was curious. So
I put Nova Launcher on every phone eventually.
Yeah, because that's my
default.
Your home, right?
But I'll go back to the Android launcher. This is the pure Android experience.
So the Motorola features the camera twisting launching thing and some of the breathing in and out, the listening, the Google Now always listening. Are those Motorola apps that are like in your app drawer? Or are those just always sort of running? What is it?
Yeah, they're in your app drawer. You know, there's a part of your app drawer that's there's the downloaded. Here, I'll show you the app drawer. And then there's the stuff that came on it. A lot of it's called com.motorola.something. It's that kind of an app. It's an invisible app.
Okay. So it's a
process
running in the back. Okay.
Yeah.
If you put another mod on this phone, would you lose those things?
Yes, you would.
Right.
Unless that mod included it. So as far as I know, and I'm going to give you the best information I have, and I'm not, I may be wrong on some of this stuff, but as far as I know, the way it knows about the camera, which is the wrist flick, which launches the camera. The way it knows that is there's a daemon running that watches the accelerator. So that's just a software daemon. The way it always on listening is a little different. That is taking advantage of hardware feature, this X8 processor set. Two of the X8 processors are DSPs, one of which I understand is dedicated to listening. And it's listening for just one thing. So when you first get the phone, I can actually go through it, you train it. Here's the touchless control, and you can train the launch phrase. It'll do this out of the box. So I'm going to do it right now. Okay, Google Now. Okay, Google Now. Okay, Google Now. Okay, Google Now. So you have to do it in a quiet room. You do it three times, and now it's trained it with my voice. So that's how it gives the voice distinctive listening, because it's my voice. You know, if you go, okay, Google Now, it won't respond. You have to say it in your own voice. Okay, Google Now. And somewhat like, frankly, you said it on the training. So it's just like if you've ever used, you know, like drag and dictate when you first train it. It's like that. You're repeating that phrase. Huh?
What happens if you have like laryngitis?
Well, you shouldn't, you know, well, for instance, the other day I trained it, I was in bed lying down and it never worked again. So I had to retrain it. So you want
to. It wasn't like the supine Leo.
Right. Well, it's probably sort of like this. So you can train it again. I just trained it again. You can train it. I trained it with a droopy dog voice, as you know, on Twit, and it worked. So you can train it with an oddball voice if you want.
It's very responsive. Like seeing you flip your wrist and saying,
oh, it's totally,
seeing how it came up and said good afternoon. So the wrist flip thing, do you have to shake it? Is it just one flip?
It's it's three. It's like this: 1, 2, 3. And then it's very quick. And the other thing that makes it fast for photography is it's tap to focus and shoot. So you tap what you want to take a picture of, and it does it.
That
I know
why
what I'm
going to
do. I'm
going to
go like this.
Is beyond me.
It's going to fly out of my hands about the second.
It's like a Nintendo Wiimote. you know, some people have complained about this. It's not a hard gesture to get used to. It's pretty, you know, it works. Once you use it for a while, it works 100% of the time. And it didn't work, of course. It's not like you have to, you know, dislocate your wrist to have it to work. But I like that so much so that I actually took the camera icon off of the dock because I don't think I'll ever
launch
it.
Oh, so that's the way you launch the camera.
Yeah.
So if the phone is locked and you do the gesture, does it?
It does.
Yeah,
it does. In fact, it's so stock that it's got the standard Android stock lock screen that you can swipe. If you swipe right, you'll get the camera. You swipe left, you can have widgets. It's very stock feeling. The differences are the camera app. Unaccountably, the calendar app is the older Google Calendar, not the one with the nice new picker, but you just download the new Google Calendar. It's the Google keyboard. It's if you played with it, you'd say this is pretty much the same as a Google Edition phone, which explains why Motorola, at least Guy Kawasaki, told me that they don't plan to do a Google Edition version of this. They'll sell it on the Play Store, but they'll sell it like this.
But they're going to sell. Here's my only issue. I'm going to get one, but there was disappointment about the phone and overhype and this and that. Okay, I'm all right with it now. But my problem is that it's the carrier crap. It's the carrier deal.
They will sell an unlocked version.
You're right, but then they'll only sell it the 16, not 32.
Right now that's true. Right now, AT&T has a lock on 32 and has a lock on Moto Maker, the customization site.
Yeah, and that's what gets me.
You're probably going to run it as I will buy it right away.
I'll buy it right away.
So you'll have to go AT&T Google... if you want that. But I don't think in the long run you'll have to do that. I think, strong impression that the exclusive is not for very long.
No, but here's the issue. Google says that they put the customer first, always customer first. And when Google does that, and they do that most of the time, Google wins. It's every time that Google puts the industry first that we lose, right?
Yeah.
Net neutrality in Verizon, China, servers on your home server and Google Fiber, crap deals with carriers. That's when Google loses. When Google doesn't follow its own rule, then we expect more of it, right? I don't expect the same thing of the old Motorola, but now that it's Google, I expect that of them.
I'm totally with you. I don't think you need a 32 gig though, Jeff. This doesn't respond to that absolutely accurate observation. Google should be looking out for the customers first, not the carriers. But it comes with 12 gig, almost 12 gigs free on the 16 gig, and I've barely filled it. I mean, unless you're going to...
I've filled up my phone.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's kind of an old usage model where you put a lot of media on it.
Well, I do because of the airplane.
Yeah, I mean, I have, you can get an airplane's worth of music on there easily in a few gigs. Yeah. You don't need 8 gigs of music for a 4-hour flight or 5-hour flight or even a 20-hour flight. I don't know. I notice that I no longer fill up phones because I don't put, I'm not putting media on there as much. I don't run into these problems either. Yeah, there it was a lot of overhype, and I unfortunately contributed to that by not being able to say anything.
And it turns out to be a brilliant strategy on their part.
Brilliant. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, I know.
Because people projected onto that, it must be the greatest phone ever.
Right. Yeah.
And that wasn't what was going through my head. It was the more mixed reaction of, there's some things I love about this. This is a huge step forward. Remember what this is Motorola, folks, we're talking about. This is a huge step forward from Droid. Although the new Droid phones have that always listening because they're using the X8 chipset.
Right, and they kind of scooped the X a little bit on that announcement.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how the X seems like the opposite of the Samsung GS4 launch.
That's why
walkthrough of all these different apps. I mean, on one hand, it's like, okay, you know, Samsung's taking a crack at becoming a great app maker, right? But I like that Moto X is so, stripped down with a few kind of extras. A couple things I still want to see in stock Android. That tapping anywhere in the viewfinder to take a photo, the fast burst mode in the camera, that should be in the stock camera app. I mean, I feel like the stock Android camera app is so ripe for so many, improvements. The very few improvements they made in 4.3 just aren't enough. There's a lot more that can be done there. But of course, you have the special hardware, which is the point you were making in the pre-show, Leo, right? That you've got that special hardware on the Moto X where you can do the things like the always listening and the accelerometer and the breathing thing. It's kind of like the Google Glass phone, isn't it?
Some people have said that, I guess. I mean, not having glass, I'm not sure, but
that's what Scoble argues.
Yeah, Glass knows when it's on your head, and Glass knows which way your head is turned. Like there's the Glass is always listening. Actually, that's not true, is it? Well, it knows,
the Glass.
Yeah, when you have to tap Glass to initiate that.
One thing that may not be clear for people, the Google Now doesn't do anything different on this. The only difference is it's always listening. All the commands are the same. So, for instance, on my HTC One, I've set up Nova Launcher that when I just stroke it up, it launches the always listening. That's the same. And now I'm going to have exactly the same experience as I have on the Moto X.
Yeah.
So all it is okay is, I mean, it's not, So you have to touch the phone. The only difference is you don't have to touch the phone. And if you lock it, by the way, all that's off because now you have to unlock the phone. I mean, if you know you have a pattern or a password, you have to unlock it before the always listening goes on. There is one exception, and I think some people missed the boat on this one. I thought Joshua Topolsky, most of the reviews I've read have been pretty right on. Joshua Topolsky said, you got to try this phone to really understand what it is that's so cool about it. He missed one thing. He didn't mention the fact that when you're in within, you can set it up within in trusted Bluetooth range. For instance, when I get in my car, that it unlocks. So as long as I'm in my car, it's unlocked and always listening. So when you get out of the car, it locks again. So that's the places really, really where you nice. Want to talk to it, you can set it up very easily to talk if you've got Bluetooth in the car, I guess. And the other thing was that they showed us but decided not to release. I hear they're going to continue. They are going to do it at some point. A little clip that had a magnet in it to wake up the phone and an NFC to unlock it so that you could swipe. You could have the clip on your clothes and swipe it that way. You could have it in your car and swipe it that
Star
way.
Star Trek. How Star Trek can you get?
Yeah, I'm not sure why they didn't release it with the release of the phone. They were showing us that, and I liked that as well. And you could buy multiple NFC clips, so you could have it do some of this, make it more. So it's aware of where you are. I wish it were doing it with Wi-Fi as well as Bluetooth, because then it would unlock. And I thought that they had told us it would be Wi-Fi. I think there's stuff in here that they haven't quite turned on yet. But the idea that you get in the house, you're within trusted Wi-Fi range, okay, I'll unlock. You get in the car, you're within trusted Bluetooth range, okay, I'll unlock. Then you can keep it locked, which you should. Every phone you should keep locked, I think. But you could also use the always-on voice commands.
Yeah, that's nice.
I just think this motor, and it's made in America. I think, we talk so much about why doesn't Apple, on this show, why doesn't Apple make stuff in America? What would the additional cost be? Finally, a company, an American company, Motorola, does assemble a phone in America. And it's just, nobody, everybody says, it's too much.
That bit didn't get picked up very much.
No. The part they created 2,000 jobs in Fort Worth.
Yeah. So it's assembled in Texas, right? And the parts are from overseas.
Well, some of the parts, but
some of the parts, but yeah. Better than any other company's done.
Nobody's making the rare earth, pieces, the stuff that's Samsung's make. Nobody's making these chips in the U.S. Now, if somebody starts making these chips in the U.S., then they can be all U.S. But, no car is all U.S. Nothing that's made and assembled in the U.S. is 100% U.S.
Well, by the way, that whole movement bothers me a bit, and that you have to buy your strawberries in the U.S. Well, what about the poor Chilean strawberry farmer? He needs a job.
Well, I think there's good reasons to buy local food because you don't have to ship it. It's
environmentally. Yeah.
There's if you go to the Freakonomics guys, and there's a lot of arguments to the contrary. It's become cant religion. But we're in a worldwide economy, and I don't think it's awful to help jobs around the world.
Right. I think assembling in America is good. I think it's an American phone company.
I agree with that.
And I'm happy about that. And I think they deserve some credit for that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that may be part of the reason it's a little more expensive. Although now I've seen stories that the carriers, one analyst said the carriers are probably paying about $350 for this phone. Which means that they're making some good money on the $200 subsidy and, in fact, could charge less and may well charge less. You might see the phone drop in price pretty quickly. But that was one of the complaints, too. Hey, it's a mid-range specs for a full-price phone, same as the GS4 or the HTC One. And, first of all, I don't think it's mid-range specs. I think it's pretty impressive specs.
Because that processor is
yeah, it doesn't feel. Believe me, it's easy to judge a phone until you've held it and used it, and then judge it. It's easy to say, but it's not slow, and the screen looks great. I don't see any negatives to the way they've designed this. They got. I would have loved, for instance, wireless charging. Doesn't have that like the Nexus 4 did, but there's no room. They tried to put more battery in here. They're doing that battery thing where the battery's here and the motherboard is right against the screen. And they've designed a curved battery so they can maximize the battery volume. There was no room for a Qi charger, I guess. So that's fine.
Now, the new LG phone has a 3,000,
right.
What it's called.
It needs it. You know battery. Why? It's got a 5.2-inch 1080p yes. screen. So that's the other reason for 720p. Is it, you know, the battery life on this is great. It's 18 hours. I just rock solid 18 hours.
LG says 24.
Yeah, because they got a giant battery in it.
Yeah.
Well, this says 24 too, right?
So, yeah, I was going to say, that says 24, right? So you got 18. I just saw Brian Klug from Anantech saying, I get about 12, no matter how hard I try. So I don't know.
I'm pretty, in fact, let's look right now. I'm pretty consistently getting 18 hours. And, you know, it's a new phone, which means you use it more than you would, you know, later on down the road. I use it like crazy. So it's 74%. It's been off battery for 3 hours. That's 12 hours. If you just multiply by four. But of this 68% of screen time, I've got an hour and a half on screen. That's the big battery drain is the screen time. So, in normal, reasonable use, it's been 16 to 18 hours, really consistent. And that's all I require. I want 16 hours because that means I sleep for 8 hours. I get up, I unplug it, and I can go till I go back to bed.
Yeah.
That's what I want. 16 hours is what I want. And I get that consistently on this. The always listening does not hurt it.
You've got the GS4, the HTC One, and the Moto X. What's your primary phone right now? It sounds like it's the X.
It has been the X, although I really like the HTC One. The Galaxy S4 I lent to IaaS because I can no longer use it. It's got, you know, once you start using a purer phone, you cannot go. Well, I could. Yeah. It's a locked bootloader, and Triangle Away is not available yet on the GS4, so I'm kind of stuck. I can't modify the firmware. I did root it, but I can't modify the firmware yet. I'm you know, and this is a big change for me. I'm becoming a fan of the Google experience. When I talked to Overholt from Motorola, who's the guy who did the demos for everybody, he says, I'm the guy who invented Blur. and he said, we had to because it was Android Gingerbread was not good enough. I would also argue that phone manufacturers did that just to make one version of Android different from the other, so they have a distinctive version. But he said he felt quite comfortable shipping a almost pure Android experience because it's come such a long way, and I'd agree with him. 4.22 and even more 4.33 is a very mature OS. I think it's very, very good.
Can you imagine how much explaining he had to do when Google bought them? I invented it, but really, it's okay.
He left for a while and then came back. I can't remember the story, but I think he came back after the acquisition. I can't remember the story. I think that this isn't the best phone in the world. There is no perfect phone. There really isn't a perfect phone. I think it's a very good phone, and I think it will particularly appeal to the people leaving the iPhone. I think that's really what Motorola is trying to do. It's not an iPhone killer, but if you're moving to Android from an iPhone, this is certainly the one you should get.
All right, says I don't care about anybody else in the world, only me. Going from the Nexus 4 to this, easy?
Not having used, that's why I bought a Nexus 4, because then I got curious. So I bought a Nexus 4, which comes Friday. So I can't answer that because I feel like from what I know about the Nexus 4, and I've played with one, a lot of people around here have them, but I didn't use it for any length of time. I feel like this is the logical successor.
Yeah. On AT&T, it's not LTE. On T-Mobile, you can turn on the LTE, though it doesn't have another radio for that or some repeater or something.
The Nexus 4 does. LTE. Right, right.
No.
Yeah, and this will be LTE on AT&T.
Yeah.
It's fast, too. It also supports 802.11ac. And I was getting 50 megabit downloads and 20 megabit uploads off of my AC router at home. It was very nice and fast.
So, Gina, any buyer's remorse? Doesn't sound like it.
No, I'm okay. I'm good. I mean, no. I'm curious about the X. I would like to hold it and try it. But no, I like my One. And there's the X sounds cool. There's a couple of nice features there. It sounds like it is sort of the spiritual successor of the Nexus 4. Maybe that's what the X stands for, the next Nexus. But I'm happy. I like the One a lot, especially now that it has 4.3 and it fixed that one. There was one bug with Google Play Movies, which is fixed now. I really like the speakers on the front. I really like the design of it. I don't mind swiping up for Google now. So the always listening is, you know, not a big deal for me. I'm pretty good. I'm not too bad. Not as bad as it could have been. I was worried. Leo had me on.
I had you worried.
Yeah.
I think the speakers alone, if you use the speakers that's enough reason to stay with the one, because the speaker on this is loud, but it's tinny. It's not a great speaker.
Yeah.
So the one really, there's nothing better in terms, if you use it. Now, a lot of people say, well, who uses the speakers on their phone? I use headphones, or I put it in a speaker. But if you use the speakers on your phone, then absolutely, the one is a killer. And yes, you can see the difference in the screens. The one screen is pretty incredible. I mean, it's more than 400 dots per inch.
Yeah.
And
really nice.
While they say you can't tell the difference, there's something you feel about it that you can tell, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but they're just... Now, notice they're equally fluid. There's not any hesitation or lag on either of them. I think performance is good on both.
Is the one a little taller?
Oh, yeah, it's bigger.
Yeah, it is bigger.
The screen's the same size, but the physical, because of the speakers and...
When I installed my app, I could see a whole other task. Like it was like, oh, yeah, I noticed that the space, you know, the port was so much bigger because I see more content. Of course, I saw it, you know, instantaneously in my own app because I look at it so much.
Yeah. From a pure aesthetic point of view, probably the one is hardware wise and is absolutely superior.
It is.
There's
it
no
is.
Question.
It's a beautiful phone. Yeah.
Now I asked Guy if he can get me the wood back one, and that might change my. Perception of the Moto X. They're going to make it.
Oh.
They're going to make it with teak, ebony, walnut. They're going to have different wooden backs.
I don't get it. Like
I want it. It's like a Woody. car Woody.
No, she doesn't know what you mean, Leo.
You know, country squire. You know.
No, she doesn't know what you mean, Leo.
We're going to have to talk about their ad marketing, their ad campaign.
Oh, you know, because they did some sexy ads for the X, which they pulled.
I know, and they said we've got wood.
On
their Twitter, and they pulled it. They pulled it within an hour.
Yeah,
or two.
They realized it really wasn't quite
kind of uproar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now that's skeuomorphism. Wood. Now, wood is a nice material. I really like wood, and I think it would be kind of an interesting material for a phone. What is true about this is it's smaller and it feels good. And there it is. Guy had a wood back. It feels good in the hand. Look at that. Is that not beautiful? So there's four different colors.
The teak one is the darker wood is actually.
Yeah, you can get teak.
Doesn't look so crazy. Yeah. It's kind of nice.
And ebony, which is black. This phone, and it's something that you don't know from the specs or from reading about it, it feels good in the hand. It's the right size. It's the right texture. I'm not going to want to put a case on this.
Yeah, I really like that they said that they focused on the user experience and not on specs.
Yeah, rightly so.
I thought that was the right... That was the right approach.
Yeah, rightly so. And you make a little sacrifice for better battery life, like the lower quality screen. I like Qi charging. I wish everything had a wireless charging. Little things like that.
Everything should have wireless charging at this point. I feel like any new phone that ships right now
I bought Qi pads for everywhere.
just set it down. Let it do its thing.
I got one upstairs, downstairs in my house. I got one in my office.
It's barbaric finding outlets, plugging things in, looking for adapters. It's barbaric.
How medieval.
It is. It's medieval. Yeah.
So I guess if you ask the question, I wouldn't get a Galaxy S4 just because maybe the Google Edition is okay, although it's very plasticky feeling. I would get an HTC One or a Moto X. And I would try the Moto. I would go to a store and try the Moto X, see how it feels, because I think that's hard to. Now we still have an iPhone 5 coming. In the fall, probably.
In the fall,
The G2 does it from LG. That looked like they're trying to be a Galaxy S4. To me, they went the wrong way. They customized it more.
Nexus 5, probably.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a Nexus 5.
Yeah.
What is the point of the Nexus program? There's twofold. One, to show phone manufacturers how to do it, right? Well, this does that. The Moto X does that.
Reference phone, yeah.
The other is to make a cheap phone for developers, which... It is still the Nexus 4. And I see no reason to replace that. If you're a developer, it still does the job, right, Gina? It's got 4.3 on it.
Yep. Any of the Galaxy Nexus got 4.3 as well.
Yeah. So I think that they have a cheap developer phone. I don't think they need that.
I sold four things on eBay. My gadget fund is back up. I'm ready to buy the LTE Nexus 7, but I don't know when. I'm ready to buy the Play Edition of the Moto X. I don't know when. I've got my consumerism is going nuts.
Oh. Just burn a hole in your pocket.
I just buy it all. I solved that. To me, the psychological angst is worse than the money. I just throw money at them because I don't want to have the angst. You've got angst.
No, I'm ready to buy.
You're ready.
The problem is I don't know when. You know what? Google, can't you just tell us when the LTE Nexus 7 is going to be available? Just
soon,
tell
I think. Next couple of weeks.
Soon.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Love the Nexus 7.
Shush.
You'll love it. No, you'll love it.
I know. We can't wait to get it.
You'll be happy. You'll be happy. Let's take a break, and we're going to come back with a changelog. How about that, Gina Trapani?
Sounds good.
All righty. Our show today brought to you by the good folks at Shutterstock.com. If you are in the creative professionals, you're a blogger or a videographer, if you make, you got Facebook, anything where you need beautiful images, stock photos, illustrations, vectors, videos, you really ought to know about Shutterstock.com. Even if it's just for inspiration, even if you never buy anything, go to Shutterstock.com. You can create an account for free. You don't need to give them a credit card. You can play with the search tool, which is so great. You could take a look at the huge variety of images available on Shutterstock. What's nice is once you've got an account, you can say, I want to save that image to my Lightbox. And then you can either share the Lightbox with a colleague or a friend, or just save it for inspiration. Believe it or not, if you're a writer or a blogger, it's really nice to have these images, for me anyway, because it stimulates a part of my brain that gets me more creative. I start thinking, and you can really do that with Shutterstock. Just play with it. The search tool is so cool. If you've got an iPad, you've got to try the Shutterstock iPad app, which is a Webby Award-winning, just fabulous, fabulous app. And these are royalty-free, by the way. So you can use them in your blog, if you wanted the videos in your videos, anything you want. I'm going to log in because I love Shutterstock. I want to show you what it looks like. I gave away my credit card number today by accident. I'll talk about that when we get to the Chrome story. So here's what I got for you. Visit Shutterstock.com. Do create. Look, see, here's inspiration on the interiors search. So you can get inspiration for, like, your apartment. It isn't just for using this stuff. It's for all sorts of purposes. Here's the deal. You can try it for free. You can create an account for free. You don't need to give them a credit card. But if you say, gosh, I really would like that image for my blog, for my Facebook sign-in, whatever, we've got some special deals for you. You can buy image packages or a subscription, which I have, and you're going to take 30% off when you use our offer code TWIG8. 8 for the 8th month. We're in August. TWIG8 is the offer code if you want to get 30% off your first purchase. Shutterstock.com. We thank them for their support of This Week in Google. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the changelog. And here she is.
There we go.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Jeez, that was going too fast for me. It was over.
A backwards changelog. Gina Trapani with What's New at Google.
Kind of a thin changelog today. We've got a few items. Google launches real-time API for analytics. This is an invite-only beta at the moment and mostly applies to web publishers, but I thought it was really kind of cool. Once you have access to this real-time API, you can make queries about your data, what's going on your site in real time. So you could do something very basic, like add a live visitor counter to your site, or you could have an app, notify you on your Pebble Watch if you've got, a peak visitors, for example. Or if you're getting a ton of traffic from, say, Reddit or, Dig, you could dynamically add a Reddit button or a Dig button, to your site when you see that traffic. So kind of cool stuff for web publishers who are expanding their audience. Google Search has added a new feature on Google.com in U.S. English, and this is in-depth articles. So Google's research showed that 10% of searchers are looking for kind of long form, in-depth information about big topics like, you know, I don't know, gender or censorship, or one of their examples, Lego, which I appreciated. So if you do a search for Lego or gender or censorship, you'll get a section of in-depth articles, which I guess Google has editors there picking these out. Inside the main column of the search results, kind of scroll down the page, and they're, you know, long articles from reputable sources that kind of do deep dives into the topic. So yeah, surely Leo just try to.
They can't have editors doing all that. They must do it by brand.
You're probably right.
There's
got to be some sort of algorithmic thing going on here. Let's see if they say in the blog post they've got humans doing this. It doesn't make sense that they would.
Otherwise, it doesn't scale.
It doesn't scale, exactly. TechCrunch did a post on this. Not clear how Google will determine that an article is in-depth. but, yeah, ranked algorithmically based on many...
I think it's some question, yeah. It's the brand, it's the length, it's citations. Probably the easy ones to start off with.
Yeah, and it sounds like publishers can mark up their pages, optimize the markup on their pages to get accepted into this program. So publishers should ensure their articles follow general guidelines, including pagination markup.
Look who they got, the Smithsonian. They got Business Week. They got the New York Times. Yeah, I don't think...
Heavy hitters.
I don't know if we're going to have a shot at that. We ought to.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed that I'm not even in Google News because they still won't do single author blogs.
Yeah, it's the same thing probably, yeah.
Oh, really? They want to sing? Like, Google News has weird requirements. It also requires you have, or at least at one point it required that every URL has some sort of alphanumeric, like unique alphanumeric string in it. We were trying to get Lifehacker in forever, and I think finally we did get in, but it had some weird requirements. I didn't know that about single author blogs. That doesn't make sense. Finally, Google launches a city experts program to encourage higher quality Google Plus local reviews. So if you want to earn yourself, get yourself some Google swag, get writing your reviews. So this is limited to cities in the U.S., select cities in the U.S., U.K., Australia, and Japan. And it rewards users who've left at least 50 reviews to date and who produce at least 5 new reviews each month. So you've got to be a really active Google Plus local reviewer in order to qualify for this program. But those users who do this meet these guidelines, they get perks like access to local events and custom swag, so basically Google-branded stuff, and special online recognition. So Google City Experts. Again, a little human interaction here, or human intervention, but volunteer users. So this is, you know, user-generated content.
It's interesting.
And that, you check it out at google.com/local/contest/city-expert. That's all I got today. Pretty short changelog.
Play the changelog trumpets or timpanis or something. There you go.
The drums.
The drums. Thank you, Gina Trepenny. Huh?
Thank you. You're welcome. I want to talk about this Chrome story, this Chrome password story.
Yeah, I think this is kind of we talked about it on Security Now. So
you're over it. You're like that's so. You're like I've been talking about the Moto X in Chrome. Forever.
Well, no. I wasn't sure what to think.
I think he's better informed now.
I'm better informed.
Definitely are.
So let me just show you what it is. If you're using Chrome, and everybody knows this, I don't know why this is suddenly a story, except it must be this
suddenly came up. Yeah.
The slow season. But when you go into your Chrome settings, I will not log into Google just so that you see what it looks like, whether you're logged in or not. When you go into your Chrome settings and you scroll down to the bottom and show advanced settings, by the way, Firefox and other browsers do this as well, you'll see a password and forms, let me make it bigger so you can see it. Password and forms section. There's offer to save passwords I enter on the web. And then there's a button that says manage saved passwords. So if you let, by the way, if you're worried about this, uncheck that box. But if you let Chrome save your passwords, then when you go into manage saved passwords, you'll see dots next to the passwords. You can show this. I don't think this is anything important. Oh, wait a minute. This is a Motorola Connect launching on this. it's a Chrome extension that lets the Moto X text messages I could send and receive from Moto X. It's kind of like Mighty Text. It's kind of like a branded Mighty Text. So let me go back to the settings. Pulled me out for a moment. Back down to advanced. Back down to passwords and forms, manage saved passwords. You'll see the passwords. You'll see the dots. You can show this. And then when I click the dot, there's a show button that shows what the password is. And it shows it in clear text. So The Verge and others have, you know, Twitter went crazy. Oh, my God. But you have to understand that this requires that somebody have physical access to your computer and that you're logged in onto that computer and that you've been using Chrome to save the password. Same thing happens with other browsers.
And your email window is probably already open on the computer.
If somebody has physical access to your computer, you have far bigger problems.
I see that, and that was Google's justification, right? So first, Firefox does this by default, but it has a
password.
Set master password. Like, right. You can set a master password. Right. I remember
that was a big
many of LifeHack's
security reveal
that.
Some time ago was, and it was worse on Firefox because they stored the passwords in the clear unless you used that password. So everybody turned that on, I presume.
Right. So you could turn that on, but Chrome has not done that. And their reasoning was, and tell me if I get this wrong, but they said that master password doesn't help, and we don't want to give users a false sense of security that their passwords are actually safe using that master password. The reality is, if somebody has your access to your computer, then
you're screwed.
You're screwed
because the browser has to be able to send the password to a site when you log in. So that password has to be available to the browser.
So don't just leave your machine on and logged in everywhere and think you're...
By the way, here's Safari, and you'll notice that I'm in the same kind of section in Safari, all the saved passwords, and there's a Show Passwords button. Now, Safari does the same thing Firefox does. When I click Show Passwords, it says you have to log into your account again.
Well, and that's a keychain prompt. Isn't that, is that a keychain prompt? All right, well, that's something.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there's... It sounds kind of flimsy to me because Chrome doesn't just run on our computers. I mean, it also runs on our phones. Is that how it's going to work on our phones as well? So, like, if someone has your PIN code... I don't know. I don't save my passwords in Chrome. I use LastPass, and you need a master password in order to get into LastPass.
And that, I think, is what Google's saying is, if you're saving passwords in the browser, it's inherently... risky. So you should be saving it. Use LastPass or, you know, turn off browser saving, which I always do, by the way.
I mean, with LastPass, if I've got Chrome open and I've authenticated with LastPass and, you know, the toolbar's there and I walk away from my computer, then, you know, anybody can get into LastPass. Yeah, I have to close the browser or log out of LastPass. And I'm not sure what my LastPass settings are, but I think you can set how often.
Yes, you can. You can make it authenticate every time if you want.
Yeah. I just feel like this is like the, you know, roommate, siblings, shared. It just seems like there's so many opportunities in which someone could so easily.
Yeah, but you understand that they also have access to your email. They also have access to your hard drive. They also have, I mean, they've got everything. They're physically. So if you log out of your computer, for instance, and you don't this, but this just reminds people you should have a password on your computer. You should have it log out when, you know, the screensaver comes on or you walk away from it. You shouldn't, you know, have it automatically log in. If somebody has physical access to your computer, you're at risk, right?
It just seems strange that Google wouldn't have added on, hey, log in. Hey, just log in with your Google account to show us that who you are. Like, let's just make sure that you are who you say you are.
Right. I mean, that's the crux of the debate. You're saying, why not just add an extra layer and let people do it? And Google's saying that it leads to bad habits. And I'm not sure where I come out on that.
Well, let me think about that.
You're both right.
That would require, if you do that, that means that you would have to have a Google account to have Chrome safe passwords.
Yeah, and that's...
Don't you?
So you at least have to have a Chrome profile. You at least have to have a.
You don't
local
have to have
Chrome
a Google
profile.
Account to use Chrome and have it save passwords. No.
Oh,
do
really?
You? I don't think the passwords are tied to your Chrome to your Google account.
Really? Well, you see, mine's different mine are because mine goes across machines. Mine's
if you turn on syncing, but that's because you've turned on syncing.
Yes.
Right.
So now you're turning on syncing thing. And you're authenticating with a password, which can be your Google password or not. By the way. It could be anything.
Oh.
Right. So I'm just like, if Safari prompts you with keychain and Firefox gives you at least the option to set a master password, it just surprises me that Google.
Yeah, Safari's doing the right thing, but that's because it's written by Apple.
Right.
So it's using the fact that it knows it's going to be on Apple to to store the passwords in an Apple OS provided safe store, secure store, the keychain.
Right. I wonder what Safari.
Which is the right thing to do. Firefox mm-hmm. can't do that because it doesn't know what operating system it's on. Chrome doesn't know what operating. So it can't take advantage of an operating system feature like that.
Right. System level.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Safari is more secure in that regard. If somebody has physical access to your logged in computer, they can put a keystroke logger on there.
You're hosed.
You're hosed. There's so many things they can do.
Or your phone or your glasses. Well, maybe not your glasses.
Well, and that's why I said you should have a lock on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You shouldn't let your phone go around.
And that's actually far more effective, though. Every time my phone goes off, it comes back unlocked. I can leave my desk at the office with my machine open and I don't have it.
Right.
Going to go off.
Google could address this, and I bet you they do, with a LastPass style password store.
Heck, they could mm-hmm. even do it with touch screens. They could even do it with a swipe.
Right. So they could totally do this. But I just feel like it is kind of a misleading to say, well, we're going to secure it in case somebody has physical access to your computer, because there's so many other things they can do anyway.
Yeah, it just makes me nervous that the passwords are stored, presumably, kind of in the clear.
Well, they're not stored in the clear, but the browser has to have a way to unencrypt them, otherwise,
right.
It couldn't send it.
Yeah, it shows them in the clear when you click show. So you have to click show. So it's probably doing some sort of hashing them somehow,
right.
Doing a two-way hash. And,
yeah, they're not stored in the. Now that was the flaw that Firefox had earlier, and maybe they still do. If you didn't password your password store, you didn't put it was in the clear, it was on the hard drive in the clear.
Right, that's which is the same as having a passwords.txt file on your desktop. Right?
That's a real flaw.
Yeah.
That's why we always told people, and I presume that advice still applies, if you're letting Firefox store your passwords, give it a password to protect it.
Yeah.
Google doesn't offer that kind of protection, but I presume that it's, and I'm sure this is the case or we would have heard about it, it's not storing your passwords in the clear on the hard drive.
Right. So Steve was just, he didn't think that Google was
not at all. He said this is bogus.
Shirk their responsibility on this one.
He said this is bogus.
Steve's okay.
Yeah.
All right. If Steve's okay, then I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
He said, look, if you really have a world of hurt, if somebody's got physical logged in access to your computer, the least of it is getting your passwords out of your browser. There's so many so many things they could do to you in seconds, much faster, frankly. What are they? So they got to open Chrome, get in there, take a screenshot, mail it to themselves. What are they going to do? Or if they bring along a USB key, they can put malware on there in about 5 seconds. Or even download the malware. They can go to a known infected site and infect you. There's so many ways to do this. It is, I guess the legitimate point would be that Chrome could do this better. But I understand Google saying, well, there's a trade-off to doing that. It doesn't make the fundamental situation more secure, which is that somebody has access to your computer, unfettered access to your computer.
Right. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that it would be for PR more than anything. That they would avoid
that's
this
why
sort
they
of
would
kerfuffle.
Do it. Right. Hey, well, right, but we fixed it. Yeah, but I could copy your entire hard drive and go home. So,
not on my Chromebook, you can't.
Right. The real good advice is don't use a browser of any kind to store your passwords. Use LastPass. Or something like it. Mm-hmm. But LastPass, I know, is safe and doesn't store it's encrypted. Even if they get access to your hard drive without your LastPass password, they can't do anything.
Right.
It's kind of equivalent to this two-factor authentication thing where you can say, no, I always use this computer, so don't ask me every time I use it. Right?
Right.
You could say, oh, well, that reduces security. Yes, because the presumption is this is a safe computer. They even say, if this is a shared computer, don't use this option.
Right.
Well, if it's a shared computer, you shouldn't be storing the passwords in your browser. Same thing.
Right. If someone broke into my home and carried the computer off, I got bigger problems. Yeah.
Yeah. They might as well just take the computer.
Yeah.
they're really after you. It's all on there.
Right.
Right.
All right. Okay.
The best thing to do would be to turn on LastPass, use LastPass only, turn off browser storage. I do, because it's an I don't want and that then you're much safer.
Yeah.
And and by the way, use two-factor authentication on LastPass, and you're really good with Google Authenticator, and then you're really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's a tempest in a teapot. Team Steve seemed to think so as well.
It's interesting that Google made such a different choice than Safari and Firefox.
Well, no, Firefox is doing pretty much the same thing. I mean,
well, in that at least Firefox is like, oh, here you can set this master password. You know, Google's just saying outright that's not going to help you.
Yeah.
Well, that was less controversial than
I wonder. I wonder. So, if you aren't logged in any, see, I'm always logged in on Chrome. If you're not logged in any way, it will still offer to save passwords.
I'm going to do incognito window.
Well actually, no, that wouldn't do it either. I don't think that would do it.
So, let's a new profile, right? So, you can switch profiles.
So, Elliot Kember, who wrote this blog post, said, you know, there are two sides to this, the developer side and the user's side. Anytime I try to draw attention to this, I get the usual response from technical people. Just use 1Pass. The computer is already insecure as soon as you have physical access. That's just how password management works. He says, while all of these points are valid, this doesn't address the real problem. Google isn't clear about its password security. By displaying your passwords in plain text outside your keychain without requiring a password, and then Justin Hsu, who's head of Chrome security, responses is just not going to change. You're wrong. and Steve had kind of the same attitude, like, well, of course not. Anyway, hey, now you know, and that's the best thing. Everybody now knows.
Gene is disappointed we didn't have any cause for fits or anything, but I'll bring you a cause for a fit.
Okay.
You ready?
I see. Jarvis will have a fit right here.
No, that's not that one. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I got so many fits.
More than one, huh?
This is a quick fit. Katie Couric just tweeted that she has a year's free Chipotle burritos. What are we, chopped liver tacos?
Well, she is on a major. Isn't she on a major, or maybe not anymore?
What have we done for them? And you know what, folks? I don't want the burritos. I want advertising on Twig.
Katie Couric is about 4 feet tall. How many burritos could she eat?
Not many. That's why they're going to give it to her. Right.
They're not looking at me saying, we'll give him free burritos for a year. Oh, no. Are we still Chipotle fans?
I was there today.
It's waned for me.
Yeah.
Like Glee. Much like Glee, it's waned a little
Glee
bit.
Glee and Chipotle, we've got to find new stuff.
Yeah, we do. We need to find new stuff.
Yeah,
we do.
So if you are... Okay, so I created a new Chrome profile. I'm not signed into Google.
Yeah.
I just signed into Netflix. It was random, and it did offer to save password. So you're right. This is not connected. This is not at all connected to whether or not you're signed in with Google. So Google could not use Google sign-in to verify your identity.
Just saves... Because everybody expects it. Browser to save passwords. Look, my mom would go crazy if the browser didn't save passwords.
Yeah.
So Bob's Big Boy and let's see. What was it that you liked? What was that show you liked?
We don't have those out here.
That show you didn't want to admit you liked? The Bachelorette?
Oh, The Bachelorette. No.
Bob's Big Boy and The Bachelorette. We'll replace Glee and Chipotle. How about that? No? All right.
Five Guys.
No, Five Guys is that
it? I like Five Guys. Do you have Five Guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can make it Five Guys because they're nationwide.
Out here. Right. Yeah. We can't do it in Alex.
It's not out there. And White Castle's not out here. And so it's so hard with your fast
food. Take that Chipotle. And Katie Couric, your girlfriend, she holds up the card with a jar of Tums. Now, how's that?
Oh, that's good advertising, Chipotle. You got to be really happy about that mention.
Huh?
I tell you, these celebrities, they're so used to getting the gift baskets, the free stuff. They just don't appreciate it.
The Moto phones before anybody else.
Yeah.
You
know, it turned out somebody tweeted me. There were apparently two Moto events. I went to the first one, which was the, yeah, the blogger. Oh, there she is. Hello, Katie.
There she is.
Jeez.
I still like you, Katie, but Chipotle's got me.
Come on. Really? Really, Katie? Come on. It's made out of wood? I didn't even know they had that. Free, yes. Free Chipotle. For, I see we got her name on it. Yeah. Katie Couric's custom-made burrito card.
Handcrafted.
You know.
Free birds. To free birds, I say.
Yay.
Well, I just, it's like, I'm not surprised at Chipotle doing that. I'm surprised at her making a big deal out of it. Don't you know, Katie, we celebrities have a code that if you get free stuff, what happens at Chipotle stays at Chipotle? I swear. You think they paid her? Did they pay her, you think? Did she get any money? No, she got free burritos.
They might be advertising.
Which means she's cheap. She doesn't cost much. A few free burritos. I mean, because come on, seriously, how many burritos is she going to eat? So Porter Gale, who is a publicity person, went to the second event, and Christy Yamaguchi was there. All these famous people were there the next night. So clearly Motorola, Guy Kawasaki, had a clever strategy. Bloggers night one, celebrities night two.
First the schlubs and then the stars.
And guess, according to Porter, they didn't have to sign an NDA.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. What? Well, because they figured Christy Yamaguchi was going to be listening to her anyway.
She's going to start her own EV Leaks Twitter handle.
Exactly.
Christy Yamaguchi Leaks.
an odd celebrity list guy.
I should get the... I don't have the whole list. Porter wrote an article. Let me see if I can find it. She wrote an article about the Moto X launch in which she talked about... to drop the name of all the celebrities that were at hers. You know, the title of her post was how Google enlists bloggers to spread the word for Moto X. But then when I saw who went to her event, it wasn't bloggers. It wasn't bloggers. It was like Christy Yamaguchi and her, I guess her, let me see if I can find the list. She mentions, dropped all the names here. There were no NDA forms, no security checks, no formalities. Christy Yamaguchi and her hockey playing husband, Brett Hedekan, a champion Frisbee player.
A pretty low-level celebrity.
It was like B-list. Okay, well, it was B-list bloggers, too. So, David Kelly, the founder of IDEO. It was like the celebrity one. I wanted to go to the celebrity one.
Yeah.
Next time, Guy. Okay. Well, no, there's something. There's got to be something more to talk about.
No, there's no next time because there's no NDAs for you.
Handheld. I know. Never again. Handheld remote for Google Glass. This one says Jarvis will have fits. So instead of why will you have fits? This is called Remote. And it allows you to keep your hands in your pockets while you're wearing your glass.
I can't remember what I was going to have a fit about.
Oh, I may have done some dog rundown organization and missed that third column. Sorry. It's the Street View story.
But the so you can navigate glass directly. I mean, discreetly. So you can take pictures without anybody knowing.
No, it's actually something you got to hold. So it's
You can hold it in your pocket.
That's true.
Which is even creepier.
But it's kind of ridiculous. If you think you need... That means they made a mistake on the UI.
Yeah, because you just do the blink side load.
Now this is killing me. I can't remember what I was going to have a fit about.
Hulu. How about this? Hulu plans to put Hulu Plus on Google Chromecast. That's good news. The more stuff I see on Chromecast, the happier I am.
Yeah, I've been really digging it.
You like it?
Really digging it. Yeah.
I just use it for music all the time.
Yeah, I've been using it for Netflix a lot, which is, I know that I've 17 devices in my house that could probably play Netflix, but I've just been, TV's been...
HBO Go says they're going to do it. Vimeo, they already announced. Pandora, they already announced.
Yep.
I'm telling you, Amazon streaming, that's all I'm missing.
Yeah, Amazon streaming, yep. True.
Chris, Jeff's a little busy now with the Washington Post.
Oh, that's a story. There you go. There's one to ask Jeff Jarvis about. What does Bezos want with a dying medium?
We have no idea. Let's be very clear about that. There's a lot of speculation. People are guessing. One report said that he wanted their delivery trucks.
No, he doesn't need their delivery trucks. He's got something called FedEx.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for local delivery, but that's ridiculous. So what I'm doing, what I concentrate on instead is what I hope he does. I've been arguing, you've heard me blather on about how our business should be about relationships, and he understands better than anyone else how to build individual relationships and thus deliver relevance and value. Jeff, please do that. He understands how to build platforms so people do stuff around him. Please do that, Jeff. You know, I hope that he can really reconsider how it operates from the scratch.
Cal Canis sent his newsletter, sent out a great newsletter saying, it's crazy. He says, look at all the ways newspaper, it sucks to own a newspaper. Craigslist takes all your classifieds. Niche sites take your audience and your top journalists. No one wants dead trees on their doorsteps. News breaks is processed and largely resolved in the same day on Twitter. Some of the country's last unions are grinding down, already ground down newspapers. Can't disagree with all that. He gives six theories. Ego. He says, given the Red Sox guy bought the Globe, right? Newspapers are the new sports team for the billionaire set. Chris Hughes bought the New Republic, the Facebook CTO bought the New Republic. Bezos is buying influence in Washington.
I don't.
Calacanis said it'd be much cheaper just to buy more lobbyists.
Yeah, I don't think so.
$250 million, you get a lot of congressmen for $250 million.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah.
You can buy the whole damn thing. Newspaper delivery, Trojan horse for daily home delivery, that truck theory, no. Bezos will run for president. He wants a bully pulpit in D.C. Also silly. Legacy challenge. And this is the one he says makes the most sense. Bezos bought the Washington Post because journalism is important, and he wants to figure it out. That's kind of what you were saying. Maybe he's got a secret plan.
My fear is, I have two fears about it. I'm generally very hopeful about this, and I'm an admirer of what Bezos has built. The one fear I have is that it is, as a reporter said to me, an act of philanthropy. And he'll just sit back and say, okay, I saved it, I'll write the checks.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And that doesn't do any
of it. It's cigarette money for him, right?
If he truly brings in innovation, that's what we need. The second fear I have is that it's how secretive he is, and newspapers need to be open, run openly, and I want his innovation to occur openly. But, you know, it's a different world for him. I'm hopeful. I find it fascinating that the Grahams basically had to admit they had no strategy. And so they had to find somebody who they thought could invent a strategy for because they were tapped out. And so I'm hopeful about that.
Is the New York Times strategy going to be successful? Because they have a strategy. They have a digital strategy.
They have a digital strategy. They have a different strategy because they are an international strategy now. Now, their national strategy clearly worked.
And they have a successful paywall, one of the few.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of debate about that. But, yeah, it works. It brings in substantial money. And they're going to try to expand internationally, though I think that's going to be harder for them than they know. They're going to compete with The Guardian and BBC.
Yeah, I think you can't. I think newspapers can be at best national.
Well, The Guardian is a third of its audience is U.S., a third is the rest of the world, and a third is U.K.
Really?
And it's grown incredibly because of the net. So The Guardian's international. BBC is a news brand, is international. CNN is a news brand, is international, though small. Wall Street Journal, less so. FT, Wall Street Journal, FT are more specialized. It's possible, but it's a very hard thing to do. It's very hard to monetize. The Mirror is now very big in the U.S. because it has celebrity gossip.
Oh, I stand corrected. I guess you can do international.
You can, but it's hard. The problem with the Post was, and I know this from friends who were there, that the war that lasted until now was a war of, are we local or national? Which the equivalent to that was, are we print or digital?
It was probably one of the few local newspapers with a national reputation that didn't kind of become national. Right?
Yes, I mean the LA Times wanted to be that. And
couldn't
was
do it.
Ridiculous and stupid. The
Times
Post
has
could
done
have been. But the CEO of the Post was, you know, not too long ago, still doing PowerPoints about the wonders of print. The sales force said, we don't want to sell this national stuff. We want to sell local. So that was the war that was on there that they never settled. And now we'll come a new owner, and he's going to say, listen, folks, this is what we got to be.
I think Jeff Bezos is philanthropy. I can't imagine that a guy like Bezos, who's so smart and has really figured out the future of merchandising and it's online, has any interest in the most bricks and mortar businesses.
Well, but he does, you know, if I argue that news is a service, he understands service.
But what do you need a newspaper for?
You don't, but you have the brand and you make it into something new. Yeah, you get rid of the newspaper as soon as you can.
I think the brand is an albatross.
Really?
Yeah. What do you get with the name Washington Post? The only thing that ever comes to mind is Watergate.
Yeah.
He could have bought Woodward and Bernstein cheaper and it would have been better. Right?
Yeah.
Well, right?
Jeff has another problem here, which is that who are newspapers' advertisers? Local merchants. Who is Amazon killing? Local merchants.
Right. Macy's is not going to advertise in a Jeff Bezos-owned Washington Post. By the way, Amazon didn't buy WaPo.
No.
Jeff
Bezos did. But same difference.
Same difference. I totally think it's an act of philanthropy. It's an act of nostalgia. It's like Henry Ford buying a locomotive. It's like...
Well, then it's amazing that Buffett isn't the one who bought. Buffett left the board of the Washington Post.
Buffett made some money on this deal.
And yeah, he did.
What did he make? Like $100 million? He made a huge amount of money on this. So, you know what? Warren could have gone to Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, would you buy this?
Well, I think Warren did have a role in that. Warren also called Bezos the best manager in America.
Yeah. You know what? Warren's a smart guy. He went to Jeff. He patted him. Only you could run this. You're the guy. Yeah. You're the guy. Run this. And then he comes home with a big check. He doesn't have the headache of having to worry about a dying medium.
But here's
Jeff,
the funny
if you want to buy something, you know, AM radio, it's going to be big.
It's going to be huge.
Huge.
The right leadership, just with the right leadership.
All it needs is leadership.
Just get Marissa to buy that. You know, here's the funny
one.
She
will, by the way.
Who is Don Graham closer to than Jeff Bezos?
Who?
Mark Zuckerberg. He's
really?
On the board of Facebook. Imagine if the news had been that Mark Zuckerberg is buying the Washington Post. It would have been hilarious. It fits everywhere.
Very interesting.
So that's enough of that. Enough of my... So what right. I was going to have a fit about, I now see. No, Gina, you didn't mess it up.
What are you going to have a fit about?
Google the Castro's house in Cleveland. The guy who held the three women hostage for all those years. Not hostage, but prisoner. And the town destroyed the house today. And that's a very smart thing. But before the house was destroyed, Google blurred it on Street View.
What?
What are they protecting us from? What are they doing to the record? You know, should they blur the World Trade Center site too? Because it has unpleasant memories. It's not up to Google to do that. I just we're not Blurmany, damn it. And I was a bit offended by their censorship of the real world. So I just wanted to say that. It's not a full fit, but...
Yeah, that seems weird to me.
Yeah.
I mean, unless... I mean, you know, unless there was someone in the window. There's... It just doesn't seem like there's any reason why they should have done that.
No. So that's the end of my fit. That was a
so they leveled the house? I didn't realize that.
They leveled the house today, yeah. Yeah, which is a fine thing to do, I think, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But wow. One of the victims was there to kind of help, and I certainly understand that desire.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
What do you think was, I mean, maybe there was, oh, I know, it had Christmas lights on it. No, that wouldn't make no sense. By the way, I just received, this is something we'd like to offer Katie Couric. It's free Twit episodes for you, Katie, for life, not just a year, forever. It's made of wood. And I just want you to know that this is waiting for you at the Twit Brick House, Katie. As long as you tweet about it. And no Tums. That's my only condition. Chris Messina, the guy who invented the hashtag, is leaving Google. He's going to start join a startup named Neon Mob. I like Chris a lot.
Yeah, Chris is
great. I like
Chris
a lot, too. And I like Chris when he's talking more, when he's blogging and he's more, he's out there kind of. And when he was at Google, it was sort of a little bit of a quiet period, I felt like.
Yeah.
I didn't hear from him very much.
Maybe that's why he left. He just wanted to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was he who, on Twitter, first had the idea that if you put the pound sign, the hash sign, in front of a word, it would make it easier to search for tweets about a certain subject. And boy, has his baby taken off. Arguably even more successful than Twitter itself. You see him everywhere.
Yeah,
You can't watch a TV show without a hashtag. I just saw a picture of the Portland police car with hashtag Portland police.
Alec Baldwin was on Howard Stern a week ago, and after he's gone through all his Twitter kerfuffles, he said that he imagined his gravestone would just say hashtag dead.
Do you think that will live forever, or is hashtag just, you know... moment in time?
Good question.
That is a good question. I think that it's had a pretty good long moment.
Wouldn't have predicted that, would you?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have. No. I mean, certainly a longer moment than, say, like QR codes or, you know, I don't know.
It lives in history, no doubt.
Yeah. Right?
Occupy Wall Street, things like that. It lives in history. But it is a ridiculous kludge on a limited system.
Right.
It is.
Well, no, because it's just, you know what? At signs live, right? For email and now for Twitter. It's a signal. What follows is, this is the canonical name for something in a namespace. @LeoLaporte in Twitter, the namespace, or Leo@twit.tv in the twit.tv namespace. And that what hashtag says is, this is a search term. And it would be fruitful for you to search on whatever follows the hashtag. I think it's just a signal. And it's a brilliant signal. It comes from the notion of taxonomy. I mean, you can really credit in some way Katharina Fake and Stuart Butterfield for creating taxonomies in Flickr, which were the logical predecessor. They didn't have the hashtag, but same idea. You tag a photograph because you can't search on it. Well, you can now with Google, but at the time you couldn't search for the contents of a photo. So the tag was so critical.
Well, it was a way to create a feel.
Flickr or Delicious? Josh Actor or Delicious?
Did Josh do it first?
I'm not sure, but it was.
It feels like Flickr predated Delicious, but I don't know. They were both killed by Yahoo. That's all I know.
But Yahoo's getting a new logo, by the way.
What? No purple?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess they're working on a new logo.
God, I bought the whole staff purple t-shirts, hoping that Marissa would buy. So we could have that picture that everybody does, you know, the entire team in purple.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they're going to ditch purple, and I don't think they're going to ditch the exclamation point either, which was my only really interest.
Yeah, because that's such a pain in the ass. All right, let's take a look at the new. This is from the Washington Post, the nation's new paper.
Bezos paper.
The Bezos. The Washington Bezos.
The Bezos Daily.
They're taking down the sign. Wait a minute, that's the old picture of the famous San Francisco Yahoo sign. Where's the new? I don't see the new logo in this Washington Post.
They're putting a new logo up a day for 30 days, and then we'll see it.
Oh.
Yeah, right. It's a 30-day countdown.
So on the site, I think there's a new logo a day. And somebody said a new logo we shouldn't care about because we know it's not the logo.
Yeah, no kidding. 30 bad logos.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, this is the video.
It's still purple.
I mean, we're talking about it. They're doing a good job.
Can we get rid of?
I don't like today's at all. But you know what? This is Marissa. This is, you know, she was most famous at Google for the
design sense
in the Google homepage. And she would obsess over the different shade of blue. So this is just typography. Come on. Yeah. You're going to be doing more than new.
I want to be rid of the dog's member.
Yeah. Let's get rid of the dog's member. Seriously. Today's is ugly.
Yeah.
See this over here? It's ugly.
Yeah, let's castrate the Yahoo logo.
Bad kerning, and still has the dog's member.
Yeah, I mean, even
those of
Twitter,
you who don't know what we're
avatar,
saying, go
updated.
Back a show.
Yeah, if you don't know what a dog's member is, you're not missing anything at all.
No,
not at all. Anything else we should talk about before we get to our picks of the week? I'm looking down.
I think there's under the security, there's one at least amusing thing here, which is that former NSA chief Hyden warned that if Snowden got apprehended, that there'll be cyber attacks on everything because we're all people are evil. And he called our people, our
nihilists, anarchists, activists, Lulzsec, anonymous 20 somethings who haven't talked to the opposite sex in 5 or 6 years. This guy, this is straight out of Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
He's practically talking about precious bodily fluids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are these people? And why are they running things? So depressed by that story. It's really hard for me to be chipper right now.
I wrote a post in the Guardian in which I argued that it is time for the major tech companies to come forward and make clear whether they are collaborators or victims of the NSA's overreach.
They're collaborators.
And
they're all collaborators.
Bruce Schneier then wrote a wonderful post, too, that said we've got to restore trust in the net.
We're going to try to get Schneier on next week and have him talk, because he's the greatest. Love, Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be huge. That'd be great.
Nihilists, anarchists, activists, Lulzsec, anonymous, 20-somethings who haven't talked to the opposite sex in 5 or 6 years. They may want to come after the U.S. government. For frankly, you know, the dot middle stuff is about the hardest target in the United States. Oh, don't say that out loud. So if they can't create great harm to dot mill, hey, who are they going after? Who for them are the World Trade Centers? Oh, this guy should not be allowed to speak. But he ran the NSA.
Yeah. Oh, they're the wagons are so circled. I mean, the big question is whether the whole kerfuffle right now about security in the Middle East and U.S. embassies is... I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I never have been. I always presume the world is not that well organized. But my faith is shaken, and I wonder whether they're not pumping this.
Oh, yeah.
Another favorite thing today.
Oh, yeah. Look what we found. There's chatter. You see, it works. We found chatter.
But, of course, Snowden stopped them from talking the same way, so we don't know. The great thing today was Daily Beast has a story that Al-Qaeda, the reason they got all this was Al-Qaeda held a conference call, which led to all kinds of great Twitter jokes about, you know, oh, don't you hate this hold music? It makes me so angry. I want to blow up the world.
Gibson was talking about this on the previous show on Security Now. Apparently, a few months ago, the FISA court ruled that what was going on was unconstitutional. So the report was classified.
Yes. Yeah, we can't see it. The court has no objection. The government won't let it out.
Yeah, it objects, but no, you can't see it. So the secret court has to stay secret. Sorry.
One more little thing, Leo. I suppose we should follow up because it amounts to, I should have warned Chad to cue this, the Leistungsschutzrecht. That
just imagine, if you will, some reggae going on right now.
So if you to refresh your memory very briefly, the German publishers went to the legislature, they got passed a law that says you can't quote us, you can't snippet us, you can't steal our soul. And so Google said, fine, we won't. You have to opt in for us to quote you and link to you.
Good.
And every single publisher, including Axel Springer, the one that started it all, opted in. So Google won, German publishers, bupkis.
I think that's exactly the way to handle it. That's fine.
Yeah,
no problem.
Brilliantly.
No problem. Yeah, that kind of shuts up all the criticism. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our tool tip and number of the week. And don't forget, coming up in just a few minutes, Triangulation Stuart Chaffee will join us, the host of the longest-running computer television show of all time, Computer Chronicles, which was started in the mid-'80s, I think. And it'll be great fun to see Stuart here in studio in just a moment. But first, a word from Hover.com. If it's time to register a domain name, stop. Don't go to the place you always go. Go to Hover.com. They've taken domain name registration. They've made it simple. They've created domain management that is easy and powerful. There's no upsell. There's no BS. It's friction-free. And you're going to love it. They just launched Google Apps for Business, so you can add it to a new domain or to one you already own through Hover. That's fabulous. There's no heavy-handed upselling or aggressive cross-selling. They don't believe in hiding functionality or requiring payments for things that should just be included. For instance, privacy. You know you want who is privacy. Well, it's built in. Hover provides it automatically. Subdomains, automatic. URL forwarding, automatic. Hover only offers services that enhance the domain name experience. Not a lot of upsell. They don't do hosting. They only partner with companies they believe offer value. You can get all the big top-level domains. .com, of course. .net, which is a great alternative choice. .org. But also .tv, .pro, .mobi, .biz. All the country codes like .ca, Asia, and UK. I think, you know, .net is a great one. You'll see a lot of .net choices still around. We're kind of moving over from .com. All the good ones are taken on .com. Great online help, support, documentation, tutorials. They even have a concierge service that'll move your existing domains over. That's the way to do it. Hover.com, and one of their selling points is a no hold, no wait, no transfer phone support. When you call during business hours, you'll be speaking with a live person who is empowered and eager to help you. Hover. Created by two cows, this is their new thing. Elliot Noss and crew are just trying to take businesses that are so poorly managed, they're just begging for fixing and domain name registration. Absolutely one of them. I want you to try it today. Visit hover.com/twig. You'll get 10% off your domain name registration. Hover.com/twig. People tweet me all the time. What was the name of that domain registrar you recommend? Remember Hover. Like a little hummingbird. Hover.com/twig. It's time for Gina Trapani's tip of the week.
A little tip this week for people who spend a lot of time in Google Docs like I do. I spend a lot of time in Google Docs, and I often have to link stuff, hyperlink, if you will, if you want to go back to 1993, certain words. And there's a quick shortcut to do that now. If you type a word, like say you type twit, and then you select it, and this is in Google Docs and in Google Slides, Google will actually show a dropdown with search results, with like the likely search results like twit.tv or maybe Wikipedia on Twit right there in the dropdown. You could just click on the link to link that word. So this is a new thing, and this is something I do in Google Docs all the time, and it always is because you have to open up another browser tab and do your search. This all happens inside Docs now. So give it a try next time you want to link some text inside Google Docs or Slides. I'd like to see this happen in Sheets soon as well.
What a great idea.
Help doing the rundown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Your number of the week, Mr. Jarvis.
Well, I'm going to go back up here and, you know, just as we move from Chipotle and give up on them because they were nice to Katie Couric, not us, and we picked Five Guys Burgers, I'm off it already.
You're done?
I can't wait. I'm going to Bryn Burgers.
Bryn? What's that?
Bryn Burger. Sergey spent $330,000 to subsidize the creation of this test tube burger.
Oh, yuck. It's meat made in a test tube, not by a cow?
Exactly.
How does it taste?
So the idea is, evidently you miss the fat.
Yeah, well, they can add fat.
Yeah, I bet they can.
We could just do some lipo on the cow. Yeah. Wouldn't kill him.
You can recycle yourself.
Or yourself. Right? Even better.
Take the fat out, put it in the burger, eat it, take it out, put it back. It works beautifully.
Even better.
Yeah.
Where is one of these? Can I go now?
No, they did have a tasting. Some press went.
I always wondered why. I really always wondered why you have to have an animal make your meat. Why can't you just grow it in vats?
Well, that's exactly what he's doing. Let me put. I'll put.
I gotta admire these guys because they're just living the science fiction life.
They are living the dream.
Are you a vegetarian, Gina? No, you eat meatballs.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I do. I'm an omnivore.
See, then you could be a vegetarian with conscience because no animal was killed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it seems like it would also be more efficient. You have a video.
And in the chat on the rundown, I put a video in. I just found of, and I haven't watched it, of Sergey explaining why he did this.
Vegetarian meat.
Oops.
It's very clean. Oh, here we go. Sergey paid how much? $330,000 for a hamburger. That's Kobe beef.
Oh, we're going to get an ad first. Sorry.
Sometimes. You know, the it's 6 minutes. We got to watch it. This is how Sergey is paying for the beef.
I like to look at technology opportunities where the technology seems like it's on the cusp of viability. And if it succeeds there, it can be really transformative for the world.
The story of human evolution.
Is it made of people?
Soylent Green.
I always wondered that. I mean, but I'm the one who's advocating for human chow. We got puppy chow and gorilla chow. Yeah. Zoos for years have been able to feed animals with a nutritionally complete food. Why don't we have human chow? Just asking. And I would just eat it. It would be easy. Somebody's making.
Now who makes Soylent Purple?
Yeah. Dr. Mom says we do have human chow. She is in our chat room, a regular, and her specialty as a physician is feeding people through tubes, intubating people and feeding them. And I guess that's what they would pump down the tube is human chow.
Yeah, human chow.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it wouldn't be good. It's not Ensure, is it? No. My tool of the week is something that's been around for a while, but I finally just kind of got around to trying it. I'm so excited about it. It's BlueStacks. You know about BlueStacks. It's a Android emulator for Windows or Mac. It lets you literally run Android apps inside of your Mac or your PC. So, for instance, I'm going to search for my favorite app, Tapped Out, which I can't play anymore. So it's safe for me to search for it. And when you do that, it'll show you three different stores that you can install it from. I have to enable the App Store. I haven't enabled it on this one, so I won't do that right now. But you see, this is Android. I mean, it's really an Android experience. Which
so
is...
can you then cast that on Chromecast to your big TV?
Oh, that would be cool, but no, it's not in a browser,
not in a browser
tab.
Yeah.
But maybe the BlueStacks folks will, that would be a nice thing for them to do. Maybe BlueStacks folks, you should add a Chromecast button to your BlueStacks. This is Android running an emulation. I don't know what version it is. Do you know off the top of your head, Gina?
I don't.
It doesn't say. But it's I was running Tapped Out at home, and it ran fine. I mean, it crashed because my Tapped Out crashes. But it ran right up to the point where it would normally crash. It ran fine. And other apps, the most popular apps on here are games. As you might imagine, you know, wouldn't you like to be able to play some of those great Android games on the desktop? Some of those Android games are actually better than the games on desktop computers. So BlueStacks, it's free from BlueStacks. I think it's .org. Let me check. But somebody sent me an email saying, you know, you should just be playing The Simpsons on your computer. And I knew about BlueStacks. I've known about it for some time. Yeah, BlueStacks.com.
.com.
Play bigger.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. 10 million downloads, so I guess I'm not telling you anything.
Yeah, available for Windows and Mac.
Works just fine. And yeah, it's a great idea. I'll put my Tapped Out on here when it gets back. You know, it crashed. Electronic Arts ripped me off. They owe me 1,400 donuts.
Aw.
I know.
Jerks.
Jerky jerks. Jeff. No, actually, I'm relieved because I was badly hooked on that show. It's good to not be able to play it anymore. Jeff Jarvis is at the City University of New York, the author of Public Parts and What Would Google Do? He blogs at Buzz Machine. Do you still blog or write for Medium as well?
I do, yeah. I put stuff up there.
Another place you can see stuff. Yeah. Does everything at Medium show up on Buzz Machine, or is there unique stuff?
No, mix.
Mix, depends. All right, cool. So go to both places. Gina is, of course, the author of ThinkUp, thinkup.com, the great Twitter statistics analyzer, and of To-Do Text, a great to-do list for both iOS and Android, and blogs at smarterware.org, and is the mother of Etta.
Yes, theoretically blogging. I'm going to kickstart my blogging soon. It's been too long.
Yeah, I've heard it all before. Yeah,
Blog slacker.
Blog slacker. We all are these days. Every time, blog, you know, every 3 months I write an entry saying, I'm going to do this every day from now on.
Yeah.
Every 3 months, like clockwork. And Katie Couric, don't forget, we still got that wooden free tweet. Get out of jail free card. Thank you all for joining us. We do This Week in Google right after Security Now on Wednesdays. That's 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live. We'd love it if you do, but if you can't, on-demand video and audio always available on our website, twit.tv, as with all our shows. You can go to twit.tv/twig to go right to the episodes. Or wherever you get your internet broadcasts, iTunes, Downcast, Dogcatcher, Instacast, that kind of thing. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.